The Chumash opens with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Borei Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the source of all of nature. And nature is not independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nature is not something that's been around since before or alongside. The Chumash opens with Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim Es HaAretz, and then that gets unpacked in detail, that everything in the universe is a Nivra of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Parshas Noach, we come across some very significant nisim. And in studying the nisim and the way the Torah presents them, let's take a look at two different pieces of Ramban and two different parts of the Parsha, which I think are hanging together coherently in terms of approach. Each one discusses independently interesting questions. Each piece stands on its own. And together, I think they form a coherent picture. Let's begin the beginning of the parsha, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yutes. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Noach, "There's going to be a mabul, and it's going to be horrific, extraordinarily destructive. I'm going to save you by your building a teva." As we know, the psukim lay out the dimensions. The teva was very, very, very large. 300 amos long, that's way longer than a football field. This is not a small boat. This is not a three-person kayak. Something like that. Something like that. Probably a good approximation in your head. If you've ever been close enough to a cruise ship to appreciate how enormous they are, and how they're much larger than most buildings on terra firma, the teva was tremendous. The Ramban comments, the Pasuk Yutes, Mikol Basar, Yodua, Ki Achayos Rabos Ma'od. The Teva wasn't the only thing which was extraordinarily large. There's also incredible magnitude in its planned contents. Who was supposed to be in the Teva? Every species. There are many different, the Ramban says, let's just stop and think about that for a moment. There are many species, many, many, millions. And there are plenty of species. There are animals that are tremendous. Even a single specimen of an elephant, of a rhinoceros, a hippopotamus. There are plenty of really large animals. And haremes haremes alaretz rav maod. There are millions of species of insects alone. Gamay ofa shamayim minim rabim in lemisbar. There are so many different species of birds. After all, it points to Gemara and Chulin. Kamo shomer abuseinu. Gemara near the end of the third parak of Chulin. The psukim speak about more than 20 different types of non-kosher birds. You'll remember that when the Torah speaks about land animals and marine sea life, the Torah gives specific simanim to identify what's a kosher species. It chews its cud, it has split hooves, it has fins and scales, but the Torah, the Chazal worked on abstracting certain simanim. With the Torah presents in the Chumash, the presentation of Chumash, of, as you know, of kashrus of birds, is a list of non-kosher birds. If we knew what they all are, we could identify all non-kosher birds, then anything else would be kosher, since it's dangerous to assume that we can identify all the non-kosher birds. Lema'asa, the Gemara says, Midraban, we require masora, that a particular bird is kosher, in order to eat it. But the Torah presents a list of 20-some-odd types of non-kosher flying creatures. But the Gemara says, don't think that each one, the ayah, the daya, the duchifas, and so on and so forth, don't think that each one is one specific species necessarily. There are 120 different species of, if you go to the Far East, you'll find 120 different species of non-kosher birds, all of which kula min ayahim, all of which fit under the rubric of just ayah, which is ayah, aleph yud hey, is just one of the ofos tameim listed in Chumash. So in one part of the world, one of those 20-some-odd categories includes 120 different species. And that's just the non-kosher birds. Well, ofus tahor main mispar. Do the math. The tremendousness of Ramban says, you think about biodiversity. Think about the sheer number of species that Kadosh Baruch Hu created. It's overwhelming. Now, planet Earth holds them all. But for a year, the Teva was supposed to hold them all. Not every single member of the species, but two members of each species. You can eat each one because they need to be able to reproduce after the Mabul. And you need a pair of every single species, and you need the food to feed them for a year. Rabban says, can we think about what that looks like? Think about the size of that zoo. Just space-wise. How much space you need to house millions and millions and millions of animals and a year's worth of food for every single one. What does that look like? The teva was tremendous, and yet the teva was way too small. 10 tevas would be way too small to hold this. An aircraft carrier would be way too small to hold this. Think about what was meant to fit in the teva. What's the happening? So what's the answer? The answer is obviously avalones. Hechzik muadis hamaruba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Yachal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omnipotent. He created the universe, and he can change it at will. He can do Nisa whenever he pleases. So apparently, if you read the Pesukim with open eyes, Rabban, you think things through, you pull the try to crunch all the numbers, you realize, okay, so obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Noach, build a teva, and I will miraculously fit in all the species in the world into that teva. You can build a teva to be very, very big, but nowhere near big enough for this intended purpose. But don't worry, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Noach, I'll do an ace, we'll fit them all in. And kach hava. Indeed, it fit them all in. And the Ramban throws in a phrase, hechazik muat es hamaruba. It's an ace that a little bit held a lot. That's a phrase that appears elsewhere as well. Well, the Ramban's point in adding that phrase, hechzek muras hamruba, that something small was able to encompass something enormous, probably what he's trying to do is point out this is a style of nace that we come across elsewhere also. This was a nace that Kadosh Baruch Hu did, and we've seen nisim of this sort, of this genre elsewhere. As I'll talk about based on Pesukim later in Kodesh, that there were times that all the Klal Yisrael in the Midbar came to see what was going on past that Chol HaMoed. That's physically impossible. Hundreds of thousands, millions of people are gathered in such a tiny space. Right? The largest stadiums in the world hold 100,000. A stadium that could hold 400,000, 500,000 people, that's almost unimaginable. Right? And here they're all fitting past that Chol HaMoed. It's a very, very small. So the answer is, that was an ace, specifically of this type, hechzik muadis hamaruba, of a little bit of space holding way more than it could physically hold. Or, and the ace that the Mishnah has mentioned, of omdin tzvufim that happened on Yom Kippur, which is all the next Yom Kippur, although I can see this and experience this ace in Moinayim, omdin tzvufim mishachim rebachim. That Mishnah is describing Yuma, that there were, even though there was no chiyuv to all the regal and the kippur, but there were so many Jews who came to Beit HaMikdash to watch Avos Yom Kippurim, Avos Kongrel Yom Kippurim, the Mishnah say you couldn't move. And you picked your spot, different things going on in different places in Beit HaMikdash. He was going to do this avod over here, and that avod over there, and the Hagral over there, and the Kriyas HaTorah over there. And the Kongrel was able to move around, the Gavah and the space. To get him through, but if you were in the crowds, you decided where you wanted to be. Probably Yom Kippur, and Leil Yom Kippur, you were shown the destination in the area where you were hoping to see that boat that would happen in that area, and you were stuck in place Yom Kippur because it was shoulder to shoulder. There was no room to move. Walk across the Mizrach, it was a different day walk right than Yom Kippur was so tight. Everyone blocked the place for hours. For hours. Next time they talk about next time you have a Havmi to complain about how short the break is. So that the air conditioning wasn't set quite enough. It was only set to 68. You wish it would have been set to 66. And Yom Kippur, just remember, in Beis HaMikdash, you had around a foot and a half to 2 square feet of space for hours you were standing not because someone took your chair. You were standing because you're not allowed to sit in the Azara, and there wouldn't even have been any room to sit in the Azara. You're mamish standing like sardines for hours. And then all of a sudden it came time to be mishtachave. How would that work? Mishtachave. You barely stand. And the Gemara says, not only mishtachave, they were standing so tight. When it came time to bow down, all of a sudden, now that they had the room to bow down, you know, shoulder to shoulder, there was loads of space between each Jew. No one even hear what the other Jew was davening while he was being mishtachav. That's an ace. That's an absolute suspension of nature. So that's another example of the same type of nace of hechazik muat es hamaruba. Neuberger mentioned in the Shabbat Shuvah Drasha one line, as he was talking about this, apparently HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduced another dimension into space, temporarily. So all of a sudden, everything fit. So we're not sure exactly how that works, but an ace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed an ace. So Ravan says, okay, we've heard of such nisim before, so this was another one of those, that category of nisim of Hechzik Mu'ad Es HaMeruba. Hechzik Mu'ad Es HaMeruba. Okay. But then, once you answer the first kasha, so the teretz is miyashiv. How did they fit? The answer is it was an ace. Okay. But once you have that teretz, now that teretz creates, solves one problem, but creates a new problem. A troubling kasha. What's the kasha? Just based on what we've been talking about until now. If indeed this was an ace,
why did he make the table so big?
Yeah, I mean, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Noach? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Noach the blueprints, or at least the measurements. Why did Noach have to make such a big teva? Meila, if you're making such an enormous teva and it's going to fit, okay, say, I understand. Look, if you want to have a floating airstrip, if you want to have a boat that's large enough that it can transport multiple planes and even allow for planes to land and take off, okay, when you build an aircraft carrier, it has to be enormous, because it has to be large enough to do its job. But here it wasn't large enough to do its job anyhow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to give a miraculous assist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to do an ace. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do an ace with a 300 amma boat. He could also do an ace with a 5 amma boat. They just build a 10-15 foot boat. You could have told no to build a motorboat. And everyone will fit in. Millions and millions of animals will fit into this little boat that's a fraction the size of this room. It's a nace anyhow. So lamaynaf can mean a nace with a 300-amma boat, a nace with a 15-foot boat. So Rabban says, one thing, if you're thinking about this, this is very difficult. In Tomer, yasena katani, smocha nace hazeh. So I'll make a small boat. And it took him so long, so much wood, so much work. For what? It wasn't big enough anyways. So why are you bothering? Rabban gives two different answers. Each gives us a lot to think about. The first one is Inachanami, raw Kodesh Raish. Inachanami, it wasn't large enough to fit, and Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't tell him to make it so large so that it could fulfill its function during the Mavul better. The size of the construction, in Rabban's first answer, has nothing to do with the year of the Mavul. Ruach Hashem Yisbarach La'asosam Gedola. The reason why the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to make it so big, Kedei Shiruo Sabnei Daro V'yismuhu Ba V'yisafru Alecha. He wanted people to notice it. It wasn't so big for its function during the year of the Mavul. It was so big for the first, that was the saving Noach and the animals. That was the second function of the Teva. Rabban says, you have to think about this like a lamb. There was the prior function of the teva was for everyone else to see it for a very, 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 very long time. Innumerable years, Noach is working on this incredibly large construction project. See, if he was just building a boat in the backyard, it wouldn't take so long, and no one would notice. Everyone knows that he's tinkering with the backyard. Well, they do if it's 400 or 500 feet long. It's hard to hide that. Sooner or later, everyone knows that Noach has been working for years and years and years this ridiculously large boat. So it becomes a hack, and everyone talks about it. Yismu, but everyone wonders, what on earth is that? V'yisaproha, and they talk about it. HaKadosh, this is a lesson in marketing. This is a lesson in PR. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to get people talking about what, why? V'yidabru b'inyan mabo. Because you go, oh, no, what's it about? Oh, the answer is it's about this mabo, and about, it's so large because you're taking all the animals to save them. Okay, well, 2 plus 2 equals 4. You put the pieces together, that means if we're not on the mabul, we're not going to be saved. There's what to discuss. And why is the Kodesh Baruch wanting to talk about them? Ulai, Yasu, Tshuva. The second function of the Teva was to save those inside. The first function of the Teva was to save those outside. Because had they done Tshuva, then they wouldn't have needed, there wouldn't have been a mabul in the first place. So the teva was so large because they needed to attract everyone else's attention to become a hak that no one could avoid, that no one could ignore, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a chesed for everyone else who ultimately did not take HaKadosh Baruch Hu up on the offer. And they heard about it, and they saw it, and they spoke about it, and they hacked about it, and they didn't make any changes. So in the end, it only saved those who were zocha to ride inside the teva. And again, Rabban says, for those who were zocha to ride inside the teva, it was a nace that they could fit, and it would have been the same nace, big teva, small teva. The teva could have been 10 times as large, 10 times a tenth the size. It wouldn't have really mattered. Either way, it would be a nace. And once they got to the mabul, it was no longer necessary for it to be so big. But it was necessary for it to be so big up until that point, because v'derech ha-teva, physically and psychologically, it was meant to attract attention and to direct conversation and to give people the opportunity, which they unfortunately did not take, but to give people the opportunity to do tshuva. So the first answer to the Ramban is that the enormous size of the teva was a chesed for humanity. Kadosh Baruch Hu was seeking to get the message out to people. Your actions have consequences, and if you don't choose to change, you're going to have dire consequences. And if you do choose to change, you could save yourself. So it was the original public service marketing. It was the original public service marketing. There has been tshuva marketing. You know, they talk about the public relations campaign. With extraordinary success over the course of a couple of decades, the United States government managed to create a sea change in people's attitudes about smoking. And it wasn't so many decades ago that smoking was very, very common in this country. Maybe people were starting to hear that's not so safe. Whatever. Smoking was so, you look at the numbers. The number, percentage of population that was smoking 70 years ago, percentage of population that smokes now in the United States of America, a sea change. That was an incredibly successful, by now the campaign is over. It may have been over even before you were born. But for decades, the American government was out there getting out the message, Surgeon General, as the Surgeon General, educating people, a public health campaign for people to understand that smoking really kills you. And if you stop smoking, you will live longer. So now the next round is now to tell people that vaping kills you even more rapidly than smoking does. In case you thought that vaping is healthy, that's an absolutely false assertion. And now that's the next public health campaign that's starting now that we realize that vaping kills very quickly. But this was the original public health campaign. The original public service marketing message was the teva. It was the largest billboard ever. That's why the teva is so big. So that's teretz number one. Yeah, question. You have a question? No? Kobe? No. But then the Ramban says, okay, so that's a sensitivity to have in learning Chumash. Ramban is sort of open your eyes. Now, think back to half hour ago, before we learned the Ramban. We probably weren't using these categories of thought at all. Think about it. The teva as a way of marketing tevas. Ramban is getting us to sort of think more broadly about something that we know very, very, very well. And then he says, up until now, these are concepts that we're familiar with. He says he has another terrace that would be concepts that maybe not so familiar with. I don't mean Kabbalah. The Ode, also Osa Gedola, another reason why he needed to be, Noach and his team were commanded to make it so large, maybe it was for the second function as well. Maybe it was relevant for the year of the Mabul. L'ma'ed b'neis, yes, it would be a neis no matter how large it is. It would have been a cruise ship, it would have been a neis too. But still, and if it would have been a 10-foot boat, it would be a neis. It's true that no matter how large it is going to be a neis, no matter how small it is going to be, there's no way to build a boat large enough that it actually could physically have that type of capacity. Yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was still interested in being mema'et b'neis. It's going to be a neis, but let's make it less of a neis. And there's value in it being less of a neis. What's the value? Why does it matter? Ki chein haderech becho hanisim shebatar b'nevim. Rabban says, if you start learning Tanakh, you'll notice, and it's throughout the Tanakh, there's a trend, there's a pattern of la'asosam mashabiyad adam la'asos. The hashar yiyeh b'idei shamayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu always wants people to do as much as they can, and then if need be, the rest is carried by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, the Navi tells the woman, Elisha Navi tells the woman, she comes to him and she says, Gevalt, I have no money. My husband was such a tzaddik. Perhaps Chazal said he may have been, this may have been the widow of Avadia. And she comes to Elisha and she says, we've gone so bankrupt that some of the debts that we have outstanding, some of the debts that I owe that I can't pay back, the creditors are planning to take my kids as payment for the debt. They take my kids and sell them as slaves. That's how they're going to satisfy the debt. So Elisha says, I'll take care of you. And what does Elisha say? He said, tells her, Pesukim Malachim, he says, we're going to do an ace, and you're going to have money. But how does that happen? It's not that she just goes home and all of a sudden there's a pot of gold sitting on her table. Could have. Kadosh Baruch Hu could do any ace he wants. But instead, very complicated. The Navi tells her, go to all the neighbors and borrow containers, as many containers as you can find. Because he asks her, what do you have at home? So she says, the only thing she has at home is one little pitcher of oil. So it's great. Go borrow every container you can find from all the neighbors, bring it home, close the door, and start pouring. And they're all going to get filled up. You're just going to keep pouring and pouring and pouring until all the containers are full. Once you run out of containers, the nace is going to shut down. Kachava. She goes home with the kids, she borrows containers. They're all filled up. Oil is an expensive commodity. She had who knows how many, tens, hundreds of canisters of oil, and she sells those, and she's able to get back financially back on her feet. So what do you need all that for? Just let there be a pot of gold on the desk. Anyway, she had to borrow containers. She didn't even get containers for free. I mean, she didn't even come home to find a room full of empty containers, because that much you could do on your own. You could go run around the neighborhood borrowing empty containers. And it doesn't have to be the oil just appears out of nowhere. You have a container, a pitcher of oil, so you'll pour from that. Obviously, the fact that the container kept pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring, which, by the way, is that too is a type of nais that we have heard of more than once. And you can stretch, you already have some oil, but you can stretch it more than you b'derech hateva can. And the nais of Hanukkah as well. So, and think about the nais of Hanukkah also. The nais of Hanukkah also. So, the Rabban says throughout the Tanakh, Nisim. Another story of Elisha. They're building a Beis HaMedrash near the water, and one of the Talmidim comes and says, I had a tool, I think it was a hammer, it fell into the water. A hammer and water, if the head of the hammer is heavy enough, which you hope it is, the wooden handle is not going to float to the top. So what does Navi say? It's okay, throw a piece of wood in to the water, and then you throw something into the water, and then the spot where the hammer fell in, it throws it into water, then the hammer comes popping up. What do you have to just throw anything into the water for? Once again, you do as much as you can, even if it's woefully insufficient. What the human being is doing is totally inadequate. Pour from a container of oil, yeah, but then b'derech hateva, you don't create conservation of matter. You don't get new oil by pouring from a container of oil. You just change it one container to another container. Okay, but still, do what you can do, even if it's inadequate, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the divine, miraculous assist. That's the way nisim tend to be structured. The person does what the person can do. V'hashar yiyeh bidei shamayim. Now that's a fascinating idea. Of course, the question is why? Well, it sounds like a big yisod, right? And Rabban is pointing out this isn't just here. Rabban is pointing out you're pulling on like that yarn, that bit of yarn. You're pulling the whole ball. All of a sudden, we were bothered by one little kasha on one pasuk that led to a teretz, which led to another kasha. And all of a sudden, Rabban says, "Boom! From working on one kasha and one pasuk, all of a sudden we found yisod that go through all of Tanakh." That the HaKadosh Baruch Hu structures Nisim with the maximum human involvement, even in a situation it has to be an ace anyways. That's interesting. So why is that? Why is that? Why is that? Why is that? So presumably the answer is something that Rabban talks about elsewhere, which is Rabban and the Rambam both discuss this in various writings. Rambam talks about the Mora, Rambam talks about it in one or two of his letters, and Rambam talks about several places in Purvish, and I believe in some of the others also. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we began to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first thing that the Torah tells about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is he is the creator of the natural universe. He created nature. And he didn't have to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have created a totally random world where everything is utterly unpredictable and there's no rhyme or reason. Stuff just happens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have to create a mathematical universe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have to create a universe that's governed by scientific laws. Could have made a random universe. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that he wanted a rhythmic universe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a universe that then decided to create laws that themselves creatures of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that would, he wanted the world to generally work in a predictable fashion. And we call that science. That was a decision that Rosh Hashanah made. He could have chosen otherwise. He chose to have a rhythmic, patterned, predictable, misudar universe. That's as the famous turn of phrase from the Chazon Ish, that teva, that nature, is the ratzon hayoser timidi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the typical will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Typically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants conservation of matter. Typically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants gravity. Typically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants three laws of thermodynamics. Sometimes he doesn't. Every once in a while, he doesn't. But typically, he wants fusion, fission, and v'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. That's a ratzon hayoser t'midi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So much so, that even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to, so the Rambam and Ramban both say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do any nes that he wants to. Rambam is very strong about that point. In the Igeres Trias HaMesim, he says, if you don't think that God can do any nes that he pleases at any time, then you don't believe in a Borei Olam. The belief in a Borei Olam logically implies, if he created the entire universe, soup to nuts, not just he created individual items, like the Ovdei Odazara belief, he created everything. He created all the forces of nature. Everything is a creature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then obviously it follows logic. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could suspend whatever he wants. Belief in Chidush HaOlam is logically equivalent, the Rambam points out, the Rambam as well, the logic equivalent to belief in that any nes is possible. However, just because any nes is possible doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would choose to do it. After all, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to create the universe that generally follows certain patterns that he himself put into place. It follows the patterns of Teva. It follows the patterns of nature, of science. So that's why the Rambam and Ramban both say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what we notice from learning Tanakh, what we notice from the traditions of Chazal, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he could do whatever he wants, but the pattern that we see is he only tends to do Nisim to accomplish particular purposes. And generally, Ramban says, it's either to save someone, save Klal Yisrael, save a tzaddik, save someone, someone or someone's, or sometimes it's to make a point, to educate about emunah. And we'll be returning to those ideas of the Ramban Bli Neder as we go through the year and go through Chumash and begin to see how Ramban handles different lines, different passages in the Chumash. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu does nisim to accomplish something. He generally doesn't want to do nisim. He could do whatever he wants, But the pattern that we see, and the pattern that he taught us through the Torah, is that he wants in general teva, unless there's a particular objective that has to be served. That will be served, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that that objective is best served through an ace. So here the Ramban is taking it to the next step. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was interested in things being natural is not only he would rather there be no nisim in a given situation at all, but even when there is an ace, he would rather things be as natural as possible, even though it still requires an ace. With the extra 150 containers, without the extra 150 containers, pouring tens, hundreds of gallons of oil out of one little pitcher is an ace. That's not natural. Right? Whether the teva is 50 feet long or 500 feet long, it fitting millions and millions and tens of millions of species is an utter ace. But still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants things to be as natural as possible. As natural as possible. Then, there's more to say about this concept, and we'll see more of this as we progress through Chumash together. And as we come to Chanukah, these ideas have particularly important significance. But for now, I want to turn your attention to Perek Tes, where he hits the issue of science and nature from a different but maybe somewhat related angle. Zos os tabris hasher nino sein. We are not going to learn this entire Ramban, because at one point he says, and now we're switching into Kabbalah. And Ramban told us in the Hakdama to the Perek Shal Torah that he writes there, I'm going to cover different types of learning in this parish. Over the course of parishes, there's pshat, and then there's agadah, and then there's medrash, and then there's something he gets involved in halacha. And he writes, and sometimes I'm going to get involved in Kabbalah, in Chachma Sanister, in Sod. And he says, when I tell you that Chachma, that when I'll give you the sign when I'm about to cross into Kabbalah, just know in advance, if you're not already initiated, don't bother trying, because you're not going to understand. Even if you're reading, you think you know what I'm talking about, you don't. So don't even bother trying.
What do you read it for
yourself? No, for those who are initiated. So if you're ready, if you've already been trained, if you had Rebbeim who taught you, initiated into the basic system of Kabbalah, so I can teach you more details. You already have the basic methodology, so now I'll teach you more. You have the Derech HaLimud, I'll teach you more. I'll explain how this pasuk relates and that pasuk relates, and you learn a lot more, but you have to have certain basics that Ramban is not planning to teach, not because he couldn't have, but because the Mishnah in the second parak Chagiga tells us that Kabbalah is not for everyone. Kabbalah is meant to be for a select few. So he was putting the material out there in a coded fashion. If you're already initiated, you'll be able to decode what he's saying. If not, you'll just skip. So we're going to learn part of this Ramban, and then we get to the point where it's time for us to, it's our stop to get off the bus. We're going to get off the bus and let the Ramban continue for those who are Chachmei Nistam. But he has plenty to say for us before he moves into Chachma Sanistam. Plenty to say al derech pshat. Zos o sabris asher nino sein. Perek tes pasuk yudbeis. Now we are post-Mabul. The aftermath of the Mabul, many different episodes in the aftermath of the Mabul, is a lot to look at. For now, we're just going to zero in on the bris. And Shmuel tells Noach, I'm making a covenant, I'm making a promise to you that something along the lines of the Mabul will never recur. Nothing of this magnitude, nothing of this scope will ever recur. That's the bris HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes with Noach, with humanity. And Zos Os HaBris HaSher Nino Sein, I am hereby setting a sign of this promise. What's the sign? What's the oath of this bris? As Kashti Nosati Be'anan. Look over there. It's a rainbow. I've placed this rainbow in the cloud, and the rainbow is a symbol of this promise. So there are two questions that might strike you. Maybe there could be a lot of questions about that pasuk. This is good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making a bris. The rainbow is going to symbolize the bris. Anything that's we're used to that pasuk, so we take it sort of for granted because we've been hearing about it for so many years since we were so small. Anything, if you think about it analytically, anything strike you as curious? Anything you'd want to understand? If nothing strikes you, if we're so used to the pasuk that we don't see the problems, Maybe we can go to the Ramban, but let's first see if we can generate some kashas of our own. They begin to think like Lamdanim about a part of Torah that we often don't, the beginning of Chumash Bereishis, we often just sort of take for granted. We don't use our analytic skills that we would use in a Tosfos and Yavamos. Yeah, what do you say? David? Artificial? Ah, you can artificially create a rainbow. So what's that supposed to mean? Good. We can simulate a rainbow, as Newton did. And we're about to discover the Ramban. Newton was by far not the first one to make his own rainbow. Yeah?
Hashem finished creating new stuff after...
Ah, Hakash Baruch created this now? Wasn't everything already created very long ago, at the time of Vesheshes Mei Breshes? Ben Hashmashas? So what's going on here? Yeah, what else? Good questions. Good questions. Another question you might wonder, the questions you're asking are different, very good variations on a basic theme, which is that it sounds here like Kadosh Baruch Hu just made the rainbow now, and it's specific to the bris, the breakdown of your two questions. Weren't rainbows already around? And can't I also make my own? It doesn't really seem, how does that square with this pasuk? Another question you might ask, sort of a simpler question, is, yeah?
Why are people excited to see rainbows?
Okay, why are people excited to see rainbows? You might also wonder, what do rainbows have to do with Shalom? Of all the things that could be a simon to the...
It's colorful,
happy... What's going on? So we must just take a look at the Ramban. Let's look at the beginning of the Ramban on this pasuk again, Perek Tes, pasuk Yud Beis. Zos os habris asher ani nosein. This rainbow will hereby be the sign of the bris. Mi mashma min haos hazeh shol hayakeshes be'anon b'masibashis. It sounds, from saying, this is the os, that it sounds as though rainbows didn't exist until now. Yata bar Hashem chadasha. Kadosh Baruch Hu created at this point, post Mabul, a new natural phenomenon. A new phenomenon. Lasos keshes bashamayim biyomanon. The Ramban says, look, from reading the pasuk plainly, it sounds like there never were rainbows until after the Mabul. Kadosh Baruch Hu created Mabul, the rainbow after the Mabul, as a sign of the bris. Okay? The Amru Batama Osazeh. Now, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the rainbow, it makes the other question of why is that a good symbol even stronger. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created something specifically to symbolize the Os Bris. Okay, it's colorful and makes you happy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created many different colorful things that make you happy. Why specifically this? Why is this the best, the divine artist with an infinite canvas? He can create whatever he wants to be the Os HaBris. The whole thing was a rainbow. So says Ramban, Yamru Batama Osazeh, they say, not clear who he's quoting, Ki hakeshes lo asa'o shehe raglov lemaila sheyei ra'ek ilu min shamayim morimbo vayishlach hitzavei fitzeim ba'aretz. Here's the symbolism, the significance of the rainbow is that it's a bow. That's what we call it, a rainbow, a keshes, in Hebrew also. Like a bow that an archer would use. So when you think about when you shoot, I don't know how many of you have ever gone to an archery range. Highly recommended. Yeah. Go with your family. You can even be maybe it could be a Matzah Shabbos activity on a Shir Shabbaton hypothetically. One never knows. But if you've ever held a bow, or if you've ever seen someone else hold a bow, or you've seen a picture, you know that the cord is, regardless of whether it's a recoil, whatever type of bow you have, but the cord is away from the direction of the arrow flies. The arrow flies in the direction of the rounded part of the bow. Right? So if you think about a rainbow, the legs of the rainbow are on the ground. So which way is a rainbow pointing? Up, not down. In other words, Ramban says, actually an incredibly vivid symbol, an incredibly vivid image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu turning his weapons around. Just like, you know, the safe way to handle a knife is the one who's giving it is supposed to hold it by the blade. You don't hand someone a knife blade pointing at him. You hold the blade yourself and you hand it a handle out. Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, holding the bow pointing away from humanity. He says it's not with the legs up top pointing down, kilim and shamayim morumbo, as it were, as though they're shooting down to earth, min hashamayim. No, adirab, aso behefach mizeh. It's the reverse. It's pointing upward, laharos lo yorubo min hashamayim, to demonstrate visually that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I don't plan to shoot you. I come in peace. V'chein derech hanilchamim. Rabban says, ad yom hazeh. If you want to show, if a soldier wants to show that he's coming in peace, he's going to turn his weapons around. I think that's the original mucker to look back at the historical records, but I think it's often assumed, maybe incorrectly, that the mucker of a handshake as a sign of friendship was, it was originally in a martial context. You would shake hands to show that you have no weapons, to show that your hands are free. Right? And the Ramban is saying, sometimes you want to show that you're coming in peace, turn your weapons around. You hold out the gun end first, instead of barrel first, to show, I'm not planning to shoot you. So he says, that's exactly what the rainbow is. And number two, another way in which the rainbow is construed to show that it's not meant to be a weapon, is that it's a bow which is missing what? Missing the string. No string, nothing to do it. Vehole in la keshes yaser. That's not yeser, that's yaser. As a misarim. This bow has no cord. L'chonein chitzim alav. That you would put an arrow on. Okay. So Rabban says, al pipash, as you look at the psukim, it sounds like Kadosh Baruch Hu created the rainbow now. And in which case, as he doesn't ask the kasha explicitly, but implies the question of then why specifically did HaKadosh Baruch Hu design the rainbow this way? So I can explain why he says that. But then, of course, let's assume there never were kishasos before. And as DJ pointed out, the corollary of that is that even after the mabul, there should only be a keshas when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to send a message. You'd expect that we couldn't generate, synthesize a rainbow on our own. But the Rabban says, Anachnu al karchenu na'min l'divrei yivanim. We have no choice, Rabban says, but to believe the words of the Greek scientists. The Rabban lived at a time that science was largely Arabic, but the Arabs, Al-Hazen, and all the rest of the Ibn Rushd, all the rest of the Arabic scientists, they were all inheritors of the Greek tradition. So he's referring to them, presumably, as well as Greeks. He says, we have to believe the ancient Greeks and the contemporary Arabic scientists that who say what? We have to believe the scientists. What do they say? Shemilahat Hashemesh ba'avir halach yeh hakeshes betolada. That a rainbow is a tolada, it's a tolda, it's a natural, it's naturally generated by lahat Hashemesh ba'avir halach. Sun rays, rays of sunlight coming through moist air. In other words, the scientists tell us that this is a natural phenomenon, refraction of the light by the water droplets suspended in the air, if the air is humid enough. And it's not a miracle. It's not a miracle. Why does he feel he has to believe the scientists? Not just because his name is Aristotle, he must be true. That's because his name is Feynman, he must be right. He says, but because we believe, we recognize the value of experimental science. It's a scientific method. He says, why do I have to believe? Not because of authority, but he says, keep a clean mind, exactly DJ's point. Keep a clean mind, you can make do it yourself. You can make a rainbow in your own, in your kitchen. Just take a glass, fill it with water, get the angles right with the sunlight streaming through the window, and you can generate your own rainbow. So obviously, this is a natural phenomenon. So Rabban says, that's why I believe the scientists, because I can experiment and replicate it. A lot going on in this Rabban. Things we didn't expect that we were going to read in the words of a Talmud Chacham who lived 800 years ago. Prism, scientific method. He says, so yeah, So that makes it pretty plain, pretty clear. And then he says, the truth is, once you're attuned to that, you realize that we really ought to read the psukim more carefully. Kasher nistakel olud b'lashon ha-kasav. And when we look more carefully, histaklos is to stare. Right? That word comes in various contexts. But histakel is to stare, to look intently. I could look intently at something. Sometimes it's wrong to look intently, and sometimes it's good to look intently. But to look intently at a pasuk is a great thing. Don't just quickly read the pasuk in a superficial way. Look deeply. Kasher nistakel olud b'lashon ha-kasav. If we look very carefully at the language of the pasuk, Navin came. We're going to see the same that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew all the signs. He's the one who made it. So, as a matter of fact, Raman says, if you look at the Chumash carefully, you're going to notice it's clearly there. It's actually not a kasha. It's exactly what the pasuk says. Look back at the first line of this paragraph. The pasuk begins Zos Osar Bris. Pasuk says Asher Ani No Sein. This is a sign of the Bris that I need no sein, a past, present, or future. No saying.
Present.
But what does the pasuk say about the rainbow? Eskashti na sati be'anan. No sati is past. So I am right now and be no saying this as an osavris. But the rainbow itself, no sati be'anan. I put in the past in the cloud. The Omar eskashti na sati be'anan. But Omar, I need no saying be'anan. The existence of the rainbow, that's past tense. That already was. And it's highlighted by the contrast. Kasher Amar, Zos was a bit sharing, you know, saying. There's a switch in tense. The rainbow was put, the Osar Bris is put now. What does that mean? Rabbi says, look at the Chumash carefully. Learn it like you care. Work hard. Read the Chumash carefully. If you're Medayik in the Psukim, you'll notice. Even the word kashti, my rainbow, morish shahayso hakeshes tefila. Something. This is a pre-existing. Yeah, it's my rainbow. This name was here from before. As kashas sadevan, I already have my rainbow in the cloud, and now l'chenefar shakasev. Rabban says, here's the correct way to read the pasuk. Hakeshes hasher nosati deonan biyom abriya. The rainbow that I already put in the cloud. I mean, I already created the physics, and I created the meteorology that could generate a rainbow, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Noach, I set that up, and Shesh is made righteous. But that's Nosati. But Osa Bris is no saying present. Min Hayom V'Hazeva Hala is going to be Os Bris B'Nivin Echem. The rainbow is already around. Rainbow, but it didn't mean anything. It was just a rainbow. It was just optics. Now, that optical phenomenon, from this point on, is going to have new significance. And then here comes Ramban once again to ask a logical question and to point out that the answer we already know, if only we would think about the parents of Chumash. The logical question, which goes back to what Kobe Farmer was saying before, is we looked at the Chumash and we said, L'chora, kind of bottle train and rainbow now. Why do we think that? Why do we think I'd look at the Chumash, the rainbow being great now? Because it's the Osa Bris. The Bris starts now, the rainbow starts now. No. He says, Taka, what's going on? He said, now, you proved to me, both through B'madayik and B'tukim, and through scientific experimentation, that it seems like the rainbow already existed beforehand. But we're giving new significance to Osa Bris. Does that work? Shouldn't an Osa Bris be something new? So Rabban says, actually, let's look in Chumash a little bit. Im tevakesh matam bekeshes lios os. He said, what do you mean? What does that mean that the keshes and os already exist? Hinehu. What do you think the Rabban is saying? He's a little subtle, but we can figure it out. It's like ketam, it's like the pshat in the pasuk of eid hagal hazeva eidah hamatseva. This pillar, this pile of stones, this enormous cairn of stones, and this big steel, this individual stone, Matseva, will be Edim. Testify, who said that? Mi amar al mi? It was a conversation between which two people? Later, Chumash Breishis. Eid HaGal HaZev Eidah Matseva. Yaakov and? Yaakov and Lavan. right? Laban catches up with Yaakov, and Yaakov flees back to Eretz Yisrael, and they meet at what sounds like more or less the border between, exactly, between Yaakov's territory and Laban's territory, and Yaakov and Laban come to an agreement that there's going to be a border between them. You stay on your side, I stay on my side, I'm not going to bother you, you're not going to bother me, and they set up a pile of stones to be an aid. What do you mean, to be an aid? What? They create the stones. Gal aid. It's a pile, a gal, which is an aid. Or even better, as Shavak Kivasos Tikach Miyadi, Bavur Tiya Li Le'eda. Take these seven sheep off my hand. Here, have this gift, and that will be a witness to our agreement. Who's Miel Marali? Avram too, Avimelech, very good. Right, Avimelech wants a peace treaty with Avram, and Avram's willing to negotiate. Avram wasn't very worried about Avimelech, but Avimelech was very worried about Avram, and it doesn't really seem like Avimelech had a lot of chips to offer, but Avram says, sure, I'll do the noble thing, I'm glad to agree not to give you your space, and to give you your security, and I'll even throw in, here, take these seven sheep to be an aid to our agreement. To be an aid to our, what do you mean? The sheep didn't exist before. No, they were just sheep. But you're going to have this. This will be a mazkeret. This will be our physical, palpable reminder that we have. It's like the string tied around the finger of once upon a time, before people had more sophisticated ways of setting reminders. So back in Friud de Kiyarin, back in the days of Abraham Lincoln, so you wanted to remember that you had a appointment next Wednesday, so you took a little piece of string, you tied it around your finger, and you leave it there until next Wednesday. And everyone's always look at the string and say, hey, why is there a string on my finger? Oh, yeah, I have something to remember. So even though the string doesn't really have much to do with the fact that you're supposed to, take your dog to the veterinarian or whatever it is, but it's something that will remind you that there's something to remember. So he says that's often the case, and that's often the case with an oath bris. Kol hadavar hanireh sheyusam lefnei shnayim lahazkiram inyan nodur b'nehem yikarei oaths. Whenever you have something, a physical item that's placed between two people, or that's passed between two people, to remind them of their promise, that's called an oath. A haskama, a two-way commitment, is a bris. And in addition to the fact, that he say he wraps up by saying, not only is it just generally any item pre-existing could be from this point on the oath of the bris, but here in particular, either way, whether you're going to accept the first approach, there was a bria that Kadosh Baruch created at the time, or you take the approach that Ramban seems to prefer, there was a pre-existing natural phenomenon. So either way, it is that the concept is the same. It's an item to remind you of the bris. Now, this Ramban is obviously speaking to the significance of science. So it approaches the topic they raised with the Teva from a different perspective.